Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
We're going to finish off this morning our kind of the series that we've been going through over the last couple of months or so, which is the life of the Spirit. And we want to kind of not just finish it off, but kind of round up some of what we've been talking about, review some of it, see where we're going and what does it mean for us as a church at this moment. So we're going to do a quick review of the last few weeks and then lead into to this morning. So if you want to get ready in your Bibles to John chapter 17, we'll kind of get there in a couple of minutes. We started off the year with 10 days of prayer and fasting. And one of the things God spoke to us about during that time was about being a people of the Spirit. And there was quite a lot in the first few weeks of the year about the kind of spiritual believers rather than soulish believers that God has called us to be as Christians. And so we've, over the last couple of months, really focused on the life of the Spirit. And so we've looked at a number of things. The first week, we really looked at what does it mean to be born of the Spirit, to be born again, to have God in our lives, and also what does it mean to be baptized in the Spirit, which is to have the power of God or to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, enabling us or giving us the power to actually live out being born again. So we're born of the Spirit and we come into Christ and we become part of the body of Christ, but then we're baptized in the Spirit, where God empowers us then to live out the Christian life, to be a people of the Spirit. Then we looked at being led by the Spirit. So if we're baptized in the Spirit, how are we then led by the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, so that we live in the Spirit of God or by the Spirit of God? Then that kind of, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, then we need to know the voice of the Spirit. So we know the difference between what is God and what isn't God, what is just man's kind of stuff, our soulish responses, what is just circumstances, but what is God in the middle of all of that? How do we know his voice, the voice of the Spirit? And then we kind of flowed into living in the power of the Spirit. What does it mean in our witness, in our life, to live in the power of the Spirit and to see God's power worked in our lives and then through our lives? Then we kind of looked at the nature and the character of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in our lives to form Christ in us and to enable us to live in the fullness of Christ and to express that life to one another, but also out into our everyday lives in the world. So we were looking at the nature and the character of Christ. Then we looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts that are talked about primarily in Corinthians there, the gifts of the Spirit, how they are for every one of us, how they're to be used in the body to edify, build up, strengthen in the life of the body, but also how we're to use the gifts of the Spirit, again, in our everyday lives. The gifts are not just there for ministry moments, they're also to enable us to live by the Spirit. And they're expressions of the Holy Spirit and how he wants to work in us and through us. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And that everybody in the church has a ministry. There are ministries of the Spirit that God expresses through us as individuals and various things that we looked at in that way. Now, there's loads and loads we could speak about in terms of the life of the Spirit. But this morning, we're going to kind of bring all of that lot together. And what does it mean then, not just to be individuals, you know, in terms of people of the Spirit individually, but what does it mean together to be a people, plural, of the Spirit? A lot of the things we've spoken about in the last few weeks are impossible to live in our own efforts, in our own abilities. It has to be in the Christian life. We must be living by the Holy Spirit in order to live out the life of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and therefore the only way that the life of Christ can be expressed in us and through us is by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's obvious from what we've been taught about the last few weeks. But how does the Holy Spirit want to translate all of this stuff we've been looking at in the last few weeks? How does he translate that into a body of people that are expressing something together as the body of Christ on earth. So we're saved by Jesus, we're saved by the Holy Spirit, we come into a relationship with God that is a personal relationship with God. Christ becomes head of our life, but we also get saved into the body of Christ. So we become part of something. So we're no longer just individuals doing our own thing in life. We get saved into the body of Christ. So we become part of a body, part of something corporate, if we want to use that word, where we become one with others in the body of Christ. And everybody has a part to play, but we're no longer just independent people. We become interdependent parts of this body. And so God wants to manifest or express His life, His nature, His character through a body of people that speaks in a very clear way to the world as to what God looks like, evidenced through a whole load of people like you and me. He wants to evidence Himself through people just like us to people that don't believe, have never seen or encountered God or met with God or heard from God or know what God is like. They might have heard about forms of religion, but God never came to establish religion on earth. He came to establish His kingdom and to give us relationship with Him. And God wants to work in us and through our lives to express His life to the world. Just give you a couple of moments to respond this morning. And so we're going to look this morning, what does it mean to be a people of the Spirit? Let's have a look at John 17, and we're going to read a few verses in there. Now, Jesus prayed, this is part of His prayer in John 17, but He prayed for us in at this moment. He says in verse 20 of John 17, I do not pray only for them, that's the disciples, but also for those who in the future, that's us lot, will believe in Me through the truth they shall proclaim. I pray that they will be one in faith and love. In the same way that you and I are always in complete harmony and agreement. You in Me and I in you. May they continue to live in us, that's Jesus and the Father, so that the world will believe who I am, the one you sent to be their Saviour and Lord. The glory you gave Me, I have given to all who believe in Me, that they may be united in faith and love, reflecting the unity that is between us as Father and Son. I will live in them as you live in Me. Yes, I want them to come to a place of being completely united in faith and love to demonstrate to the world that you sent Me and that you have loved them in the same way that you have loved Me while I have been here on the earth. Now, God puts His Holy Spirit in us. Now, we're going to come to the holy bit in a little while. But the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is unites us. Firstly, the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in us to bring us into relationship with God, the Holy Spirit unites us and brings us to become one in relationship with God, to be one with Jesus, to be one with Christ, to be one in Him. So if the first thing the Holy Spirit does, in order to become one with Him, He forgives us, He shows us His mercy, He cleans us up, He comes to live in us, it's to unite us or to bring us into relationship with Him. And so the first thing that the Holy Spirit does when He works amongst the body of people is to unite the people or to bring them into a unity of the Spirit. Amen. So the Spirit is the Spirit of unity. And the Holy Spirit unites us and makes us one. Now, the word unity there means to be like in symphony. It means to be in harmony. It means to be in tune with one another. So therefore, we're all playing the same tune. We're all living according to the same truth. We're all living according to the same Spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit. And if we really allow the Holy Spirit to work in us personally, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work amongst us corporately, then there's going to be a sound. There's going to be a symphony. There's going to be a one accord. There's going to be a oneness, a unity of the Spirit. There's going to be a one heart and a one mind amongst the body of people when there's that unity of the Spirit. Let's just have a look at a couple of things in these verses that Jesus specifically speaks about. He says, he's praying, saying that, Father, I want them to be the same in their faith and love together as you and me are one together in faith and in love. And so flowing out of being a people of unity are two other key things. One is to be a people of faith, and then one is to be a people of love. There's a couple of other things we're also going to look at this morning as to what it looks like then to be a prophetic people, but also what does it then mean to be a holy people. So there's kind of five things that we're looking at this morning that there's more than this, but there's five things I believe God just spoke to me about this morning that kind of helped to bring together what we've been looking at over the last few weeks, that to be a people of the Spirit primarily means we're a people of unity. From that flows a people of faith and a people of love. And if we're living as a people of faith, being expressed through love, then we're going to live as a prophetic people, which means we're a demonstration, a sign and a symbol, if you like, a sign on earth of what God's life looks like on earth. And therefore, if we live in that way, we're living as a holy people on earth. So holiness is not just a spiritual state that we want to try and, you know, we're trying to achieve in our lives. Holiness is something that is lived out in a very practical way. And we'll come to more of that in a few moments. But the first thing, as God has been speaking to us over these last couple of months about being a people of the Spirit, it's so that you and I live as people that are born again. We live as people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We live as people that are being led by the Spirit, are hearing the voice of the Spirit, are operating in the gifts of the Spirit, because out of relationship, the life of the Holy Spirit flows in us and through us. And how do we live as people of the Spirit? Daily, we're submitting to the Holy Spirit, submitting our minds, our thinking, our desires, the things that we want to do, decisions, our steps, reactions, responses. We're submitting our soul, if you like, to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit has lordship in our lives. We're submitting to the Word so that our minds, our thinking, what then is expressed through our words, line up with the Word of God. So we're submitting to the Word. And so the Holy Spirit then is working with the Word in our life to produce the nature and the character of Christ in us, so that's what's being expressed through us personally, but also that's what's being expressed through us corporately. So this unity of the Spirit, this one accord, this symphony is something that is expressed as we submit ourselves to God and to one another. Now, how many of you got hands? Just hold one of them up in front of your face for a minute. Just make a fist. Now undo it. Wiggle your thumb around. Wiggle all your fingers around. Put your hand in the air. Wave. This is cool. This is the power of the platform. Now, was there a delay when you thought, wriggle your thumb? Did you just do it? So when you hold your hand up, if I'm going to do a fist, I don't have to think, right, make a fist. Okay, right, that's it. You as you think it, you do it. If I want to lift my hand, I kind of just lift it without, my mind doesn't have to, it just, I'm going to wave. I'm open, I'm speaking now. My mind is, it just happens. Try and talk and wave at the same time without starting doing something else. It's quite interesting. How many of you can do this without your hand going round? Charles, you're rubbing your hair off there, mate. All right. See me afterwards. All right, I'll pray for you. In one sense, the unity of this Spirit should be that natural in our lives that we don't even have to think about it. And the life of the Spirit, God is working in us. Christian life's a funny thing, isn't it? Because We talk about who we are in Christ and everything that we already have, but it takes the rest of our lives to discover how to live in the fullness of it. So we're not trying to discover something that we don't already have or live in something that we don't already have. We already have the spirit of unity. We're not trying to be a united people. We have the spirit of unity in us. So what we're seeking to do is live in the fullness of that unity. And as the Holy Spirit is expressed through our lives, in the same way it's natural just to do that without even really having to think about what you're doing or to wave or to speak or to do things in our lives. God wants that really the naturalness of the supernatural of the Holy Spirit to be just as natural in our lives and how that's expressed in us. So that we are one with one another, so that you hear about a need and your instant response is, right, I'm going to meet that need. Or you hear about somebody who, in a situation, I can help them, and your instant response is, I move to help them. Or whatever it might be in a practical sense, which we're going to look at in a few moments. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was sitting with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he said, go and wait for this gift that you're going to receive. Then he said, then in verse 14, it says of chapter 1, they all joined constantly together in prayer. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, while they were together in one place, suddenly something happened. When there's the unity of the Spirit, suddenly things happen. There's a release of God. Where there's an agreement, where there's unity, God commands the blessing. When there's unity in your home, there's a great atmosphere. When there's unity in leadership, there's a release of the things of God. When there's when there's unity in your relationship with others, you can look people in the eye and there's no, you don't look away. There's nothing, because there's a unity of the Spirit. There's one heart, one mind. You know, when you're having a conversation, if you can't look somebody in the eye or you don't want to go and chat to somebody because there's an issue, there isn't that unity, there isn't that agreement. And we want to resolve those things, deal with those things, so that there's that flow of life, that flow of blessing in that relationship, but also that flow of blessing in the life of the body. In those 10 days, I'm sure God was working amongst the 120 or so that were up in the upper room there and getting to them to a place of agreement so that the Holy Spirit could be poured out and released and produce the fruit that we read about in the early chapters of Acts there and the exponential kind of release of God that was going on at that point. Now, so if the first thing the Holy Spirit does is unite us with God individually, but unites us as a body of people, it's so that his life can be expressed. Now, there's two ways that we're going to look at that his life is expressed. One is being a people of faith, and another is being a people of love. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn there for a minute, the first few verses, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that keeps us or tries to stop us from living in unity together, one together, or any sin that so easily entangles. Let's keep short accounts with God. Let's make sure we're dealing with sin quickly. Let's make sure we throw off everything, push everything away that tries to hinder us, not just from walking with God on our own, but walking in that unity together as a people. Then he says, and let us run, let us plural, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us run together in the purpose of God that he has set out for us to run in. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Two parts to faith that we're going to look at. Firstly, it's the faith that we're saved into. When you get born again, you get saved. You're saved by faith because you hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit resonates with you in your life. This is true. This is the truth. You need to know God. This is right. This is the way to live. Something happens in you that says, I've got to know God. I want to know Jesus. I've got to give my life to him. Is that what happened to you? You don't generally go, well, I'll check it out and see if it works and give him a go. If the Holy Spirit's at work in somebody's life, coming to that point where they come to know him, they come to a place of faith in God, where they give their life to him, there's something the Holy Spirit is doing that speaks to them, is grabbing hold of them on the inside. This is true. This is life. This is what you're here for, is to know God. And that's really the kind of faith that the writer to the Hebrews is initially speaking about here, that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that were so convinced about who God is, and they lived so full on and for God. These are the witnesses that are championing us. You know, imagine all these guys that lived for something they never quite saw, but they were so convinced they lived for it anyway. That's the kind of faith that you've been saved into. This uncompromising faith, this faith that is perseverant, that perseveres, this faith that is just breakthrough faith, this faith that's the kind of faith that you have. That's the kind of faith we've been saved into. Now, when we follow that through in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, the kind of faith that we have is a faith that we are convinced, first of all, of who God is. But because we're convinced of who he is, then we're convinced that what he says is right and true. So this spirit of faith that we have, that the Holy Spirit puts in us, is a kind of faith that is active. Faith is a verb. It's a doing word, isn't it? Faith is active. The spirit of faith says, if I'm going to take hold of the word, because the spirit of faith says, if that's what the word of God says is true about me, then that's who I am. If this is what the word of God says that I can live, then the spirit of faith says, that's you, because you have the spirit of faith. So I can live that, I can see that, I can believe that. So therefore I'm going to speak that, I'm going to declare that, because I'm convinced more of what the word of God says of who I am, or the promises of God and what he says he's going to do, if I take hold of those promises. So therefore the spirit of faith says yes and amen to the promises of God. And the spirit of faith rises up over emotions, rises up over circumstances, rises up over what man might say, rises up over what the facts might say. Because the spirit of faith takes hold of the word and says, I'm going to believe that because that's what the word says. That's the kind of faith that you have. That's the spirit of faith that is on the inside of you. That's the kind of faith that the Hebrew, the writer to the Hebrews is speaking about here. This dynamic of faith that breaks through, that perseveres, that says if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author, the initiator of your faith, and also as you take hold of him and walk by faith, he will perfect that faith. He will work out your salvation, or you'll live more fully in that salvation as you walk with him. And then you're going to be somebody who manifests, speaks, declares faith in and around your life. We spoke a few weeks ago about the gift of faith, that in circumstances, situations, God can speak to you and releases a gift of faith for that moment. And we gave a few examples and stories of that, where you're in the middle of a situation. God, I need to know what you're saying. I don't know what to believe. I know what your word says, but I need that faith, that gift of faith that just witnesses within me. That's it. God has spoken. I've got it. And there's that gift of faith that God speaks and you receive it at that moment. You go, that's it. I've got it. It's done. And then you're just full of thanksgiving knowing you have received it, you know. But also this spirit of faith is not just a gift of faith that you get a word from God for that moment so that you know that's it, it's a done deal. But the spirit of faith is the spirit of faith by which you live, the dynamic of faith that you operate in as a person, as a believer. And that dynamic of faith is determined by how you and I take hold of the word, take hold of the truth, and work with that truth and that word in our lives, and how that's to be expressed through us. So that's the spirit of faith, if you like, that takes hold of what the word says and says, now I'm going to live that, I'm going to speak that, I'm going to declare that, I'm going to take hold of that, because that's what the word of God says. Now, the Bible also says that faith is to be expressed through love. That faith is not just a work on its own, but faith has been designed to work with and through something. So if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of unity, and the Holy Spirit is the one that authors faith in our lives, and therefore the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of faith, he wants to express that faith through love. And so therefore the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. Let's just have a read of 1 Corinthians 13, the first few verses there. We'll kind of talk about a few things and we'll bring them all together in a few moments. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. The last verse of chapter 12 says, or the last part of the verse, "And now I will show you the most excellent way to live. Even if I speak in many languages, naturally or spiritually, I'm only a noisy gong or a crashing cymbal unless I speak in love. If God has given me a prophetic gift so that I'm able to understand what are mysteries to others, and even though I have deep spiritual knowledge, I am nothing if the gift is used without love. The same would be true if I use the gift of faith without love. Yes, even faith that can move mountains is worthless without love. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body for the sake of the gospel, I gain nothing if I'm not motivated by love." Wow, there's a lot of things that Paul is stating in a few verses here. He's basically saying, look, guys, I can speak in many natural languages. I could speak in many spiritual languages. But if it's not done in love, it's just a crashing cymbal. It's just a noise. He's saying, I can move prophetically and understand and get revelations on all kinds of stuff. I could have knowledge of all kinds and everything. But if all of that is used and done without love, it means nothing. Then he even goes on to say that he says here, even if I give everything to the poor, even if I act in faith, it doesn't matter what I do, he's saying, if none of it is done in love, it's worthless, or it's just noisy, or it doesn't mean anything. And so Paul is writing here when he talks about in Galatians 5:6 about faith being expressed through love. He's talking in the context of saying, look, guys, you're not bound by the law anymore. Jesus fulfilled all of that. The life you live now is a life of faith. You're saved by faith and you live by faith, but that faith has got to be expressed through love. And he says in there, the only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, a new command I give you. He says, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus here doesn't give them a new command of faith. He gives them a new command, which is all to do with love being expressed. So the Holy Spirit unites us, makes us one with Christ, but also makes us one together, because he wants to express this life of faith, this dependence on God. But he wants that to be expressed through a people who love one another in an unfailing way. Who love one another. Now, we know in Corinthians it goes through then what love is. Love is kind, love is patient, love is gentle. And the various things that it talks about there in Corinthians. But we see the nature of love manifested in Acts chapter 2. Let's have a look there in verse 42 onwards for a few moments, where the practical nature of what the Holy Spirit does amongst them is then being expressed amongst them, but also then through them as a body of people. So Acts 2, verse 42 onwards for a few moments. They then devoted themselves to being taught God's word. Let's just put a full stop there for a minute. The Holy Spirit works in us a devotion to Jesus. And that's a responsibility of every believer in their own lives. Nobody else is responsible for your relationship with God. You are the only one that is responsible for your relationship with God. for that, your health and well-being spiritually. Now, as a body, we then come, we're together in the body, and we're here to meet together, to encourage one another, spur each other on, encourage, you know, inspire each other, challenge each other, and motivate each other to walk with God, to be a people of the Spirit. Leadership, our responsibility is to help create an environment of faith, to teach the word, to encourage you to walk with God, to encourage us as a people to be a people of the Spirit, to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be a people of the word, to reach out, whatever. You know, so we're here to help cultivate that as much as we possibly can. But within all of that, it's down to you and me to take responsibility to devote ourselves. Now, that's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit that is happening in our lives. But as we cooperate, as we submit, as we work with the Holy Spirit, He works that devotion in our lives. Now, how many of you know, have you heard this phrase, that often before there's desire, you have to discipline yourself? Ever heard that? That sometimes people pray, don't they? God, give me more of a desire for your word. And God's answer to that is, we'll read it. God, give me a greater desire to pray. We'll pray then. God, give me greater love for people. We'll just start loving people. And sometimes we ask God to do things that He's like, I can't answer that. So what you're asking me to do is supernaturally give you a hunger for the word so that you don't have to, so you can't be bothered. So the Holy Spirit works with us, and there's some things that, as believers, we need to discipline ourselves. And as you discipline yourself, or you give yourself to something, a desire begins to grow in you. What you feed on, you want more of, right? So I have to really discipline myself not to eat too much cake and custard. I know you do, mate. Yeah, last time he came to my house, he finished all the custard that we had in the house. Devotion begins with discipline. Now, you could say, well, they just had a release of the Holy Spirit and therefore they were just devoted to the word. Absolutely. But they also went through 10 days where God was working amongst them and they were having to humble themselves, discipline themselves. God was sorting issues out amongst them. They'd all turned away from Jesus and there's probably a few different conversations they were having, but the Holy Spirit was working amongst them to get them to the place where they were in agreement and there was a release of the Holy Spirit. But it says they devoted themselves. Now, they devoted themselves to a number of things. To the word that the apostles were teaching, to the word that Jesus taught them. They were devoted to, as we read here, sharing their lives one with another, to the fellowship. Basically, they were devoted to the body. Now, that challenges you, doesn't it, as a person? Because we know these verses really well, and we quote these verses quite a lot, and lots of churches do. And a lot, you know, as a church, we want to aspire to live Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. But there's some real rubber hitting the road things that go on in these verses. Because we read it and say, they were devoted to the word. Oh, yes, hallelujah, I want to be devoted to the word. They were devoted to the fellowship. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Koinonia, fellowship, yeah. But actually what it means is they were devoted to the body. So they were devoted, it doesn't say they were devoted to themselves. It says they devoted themselves to the word, to the body, to the breaking of bread. What is that? The breaking of bread is recalling, it's being Christ-centered, having a Christ-centered life, recalling everything Christ had done for them, and then praying together, being a people of prayer. I read something earlier in the week, about revival, saying that you have to constantly revive a revival. What does that mean? It means daily you have to stoke the fire of God that is going on the inside of you. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think, right, if I just had a fresh release of the Holy Spirit in my life, it would kickstart me into a new place with God and then it would all be brilliant. But how many of you know the Christian life is not like that? The Christian life is a walk. It's a relationship. It's a daily relationship with God that you sometimes it's more of a discipline than others. There are times where you just hunger and you thirst and all of that. But there are other times you know that it's like I'm really having to discipline myself more for whatever reasons. And it's not because you're off the chart with God or whatever. But it might be just saying God is working in you and therefore you're having to work through something with God. So there's a little bit more of a, you know, biting into something, getting into something with God where he's working in you in a fresh way, going deeper in your life. But, you know, there's other moments where you just feel like you're just zinging at 150 miles an hour and everything is just amazing and everything. And it's not one is better than the other. It's just there are things that God is working in us at different points, different moments. But reviving the revival, if you like, or it is stoking that fire daily, constantly in our life, so that we're not saying, I just need another release of the Holy Spirit to make it, to bring me back to, oh, I'm fire. It's like, no, there's a daily devotion. There's a daily giving of yourself to the Holy Spirit, where, and the best things to do that is probably first thing in the morning, so you start the day that way, and get into the things of God right at the beginning of the day. God, this is how I want to serve you today. I humble myself today. I submit to your word today, to your spirit today. Thank you for a fresh release this morning of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you baptized me afresh today. I want to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. I want to walk according to your spirit. I want to move in the things of your spirit, in the everyday things of life. And that's what these guys were talking about. What did that look like in verse 43? There was a sense of awe among them, because of the miracles and the wonderful works that God performed through the apostles. There was an awe. So what does a people of the Spirit look like? It's a people that are united, one heart, one mind, in one accord. A people of the Spirit are a people of faith, that what we speak is life. How many of you know that faith always releases life? Faith always builds and encourages and strengthens. Faith never puts down. Faith never suppresses. Faith always releases something, because God always releases something when he speaks. And that faith, that release, is then expressed in love, in the way that we serve one another, lay our lives down for each other, as we give to one another in this here. But then as we're living that way, there's an awe amongst them because of what God is doing. All the believers lived as members of one body, verse 44, and shared whatever they had with one another. So this is the love being expressed. Now, you might sit here this morning saying, wow, we're not living in all of this lot that we're talking about. And this is part of the challenge, isn't it? That if actually we look at the Bible and it says, well, what is a people of the Spirit? What does it look like? Then when we read the Bible and we're like, wow, Holy Spirit, there's still room for you to do more in my life. Yeah. You have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the spirit of unity. We have the spirit of faith. We have the spirit of love. We are a prophetic people, which we'll come to in a moment. And we are a holy people. But yet at the same time, we read the Bible and we say, God, we don't see the fullness of that. So, God, there's obviously still more that needs to happen in me, where I'm surrendering to you, submitting to you, allowing you to be Lord of my life, so that I live with everybody else as a people of the Spirit, so that your life can be released and manifested in the way that you want it to be, to produce the fruit in the way that you want it to be produced. It's very quiet today, isn't it? How many of you are not, how many of you on one level, you're just not satisfied with what you're seeing? Hopefully every person in the room is dissatisfied. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I'm not seeing all the things that I want to see. There's more to this. Well, where does that sit? Is it with God or with us? Because God is working all over the world right now, isn't he? Things are happening all over the place right now. So God is at work, and so it sits with us in terms of our response to him and how we allow him to work in our lives, how we submit to Him, how we allow His life to be expressed or not be expressed to our lives, how much we keep a guard of ourselves, or how much we really allow the life of the Spirit to then be expressed through our lives as a people. Then it goes on to say, verse 45, the believers lived as members of one body and shared whatever they had with one another. They sold possessions and gave to everyone who was in need. So this is their faith being expressed in love. So the reality of their faith and what they really believed was expressed in very, very practical terms. Their love wasn't just expressed by giving somebody a hug at the end of a meeting. Oh, bless you, mate. Love you. You know, their love is expressed by, I've heard there was a need. Right, guys, let's see if we can meet it. What can we do to sort that need out so people are not left in need? There's a difference between making sure nobody's in need and people just scrounging. Yeah. All right, there's a difference between that. You know, there's a difference between somebody who's just trying to suck everybody dry because they're not taking responsibility in their life or whatever's going on in them, than between, look, there's just some people have got more than others in the life of the body for whatever reasons. And therefore, what we read about in here, there's a sharing of life. It doesn't mean that everybody sells everything, doesn't have any money, and we give everything away. And therefore, I've got no money now. I did have loads, and now I haven't got any because I've given it all away. That was a bit silly, wasn't it? That's not what that's saying in there. Just give it all away so you haven't got any. What it's saying is there's an awareness of what's going on in the body. Where there was need, well, let's sort that out. Let's meet that need. Sometimes it was to the point where people sold things and brought the money and said, use that in whatever way you feel appropriate. And it was shared out so that nobody was in need. Imagine that. A body of people where there's no need. Because that's what it says here. There was nobody in need. See, in chapter 4, it says it as well, that there was nobody in need. Pretty awesome, eh? What did Jesus say in John 13? Love one another. And he said, if you love one another in the same way that I've loved you, then the world is going to know. Yeah. Wow, what would it look like if in our body, maybe we got to do some stuff maybe, you know, as a body of people, that we're more aware of needs. Maybe we are more aware of needs that are going on, different people you know, and you think, well, I haven't got the wherewithal. Or can we sort that as a life group? Or I don't know, maybe there are certain needs you need to bring to the leadership and say, are you aware of this? Because what in Acts chapter 6, various things came to the attention of the apostles where there were various people in need that they might not have known about. And because of that need, there was a little bit of tension that was going on in the body as well. But and so they said, well, let's. They made the needs known, and then people brought whatever was needed to meet that need. Then they raised up these seven guys to go and distribute the so that nobody was in need any longer. See, what are we actually talking about? We're talking that what the Bible's saying here is this is what a prophetic people look like. It's actually saying, this is what a holy people look like.
That's right.
So this morning we're talking about holiness, but without really using that word. Yeah. We're talking about being prophetic, but without saying that. See, being a prophetic people isn't just about, you know, having lots of prophecies. That's using the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy primarily in a church is to build up and edify. It's to build up the saints. It's to encourage in that sense. And here it's talking about they were living as prophetic people. In, I think it's Isaiah 8, verse 18, I think it is, where Isaiah talks about, here am I and the people that are with me. We are a sign and a symbol to all of Israel. And it's like God saying, I want the church to be a sign and a symbol to the world of what I look like on earth. And it's got to be very practical, very tangible, very real. Your faith that you express, that you believe, you're convinced of, that you're never going to go back to a life without God because you're so convinced that what you have now in Him is so much greater than anything you ever had before, and you never want to go back there. But that faith has got to be expressed in a dynamic of love that's very tangible, very practical. that we're not soapbox Christians. Faith without love stands on a soapbox and tells everybody where they're wrong and we're right. That's not expressed in love. There's no soapbox preaching in God's kingdom. Then it goes on to say, they continue to come together in the temple courts every day. They met together regularly, daily, it says here. They also met in one another's homes. They met together in smaller groups, life groups, as we call them in this church. Other churches call them connect groups. There's loads of different names people call them, but they were meeting each other's homes, as well as meeting in bigger gatherings, bigger settings. They met in smaller contexts also because they were sharing life. They were doing life together. And they broke bread in their homes, had the Lord's Supper, and they ate meals together. And they were glad and thankful. What was the fruit of that? They praised God and were shown favor by everyone. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. What the writer here puts in, what Luke puts in here as he's writing Acts, is here's the measure to see how you're doing. This is a bit of a wowser moment at the end. You've seen the adverts, haven't you, on the telly? Wowser, whatever they are. This is a wowser moment for us this morning. It says here, every day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. Are we seeing people added every day? Well, let's be honest. Let's just do a little kind of little MOT this morning of how we're doing as a church. We're not seeing people saved every day. So therefore, there's some things that are written in the word here that where their faith is being expressed through love. They're living as a prophetic people. They're living as a holy people. And some of the fruit is what we're talking about here. And it's like, God, we're not there yet. We have all the ingredients. We don't lack anything for life and godliness, the Bible says. So there's no lack in who we have and what we have in God. And so part of then being a people of the Spirit then, and all the things we've been looking at in the last few weeks is, okay, God, that means there's obviously there's stuff in me as an individual, but there's also the way we are as a body then, there's still room for you to do more. There's still room for things to happen in my life and in our life together to see the Word of God expressed so that we live as a holy, as a pure, consecrated, set apart, dedicated people, or we live as a prophetic people, as a demonstration of God's kingdom life on earth. So when I was preparing, you know, during the week and then earlier this morning, it's like, God, you know, can you put this in a way that's going to help us, you know, and not just, you know, we've got to try and do that now. Because it challenges, doesn't it? Because the Bible says our lives are not our own anymore. The Bible says that we've been saved into the body. They were devoted to the body. There was something. It's like, oh my word. Some of it was organized in terms of making sure nobody's in need. But also some of it just happened because of the way they were. So I know there's some things from a leadership point of view, from not just what I'm saying this morning, but in terms of what I've been looking at over the last few days, that we need to put in place to make sure that we become a body of people where nobody's in need. Whatever that might look like. And there might be some of you in the church here that have more naturally, physically, finances, things, stuff, I don't know. And it might, you know, maybe some of the reason you have more or you earn more or you do, you know, you've got a certain amount is actually so that can be helped, that can be distributed to help others that maybe don't have as much or for whatever reasons at this part of the season in their life, they haven't got the wherewithal for whatever it might. You know, sometimes we look at need because, oh, there must be something wrong then if they're in need. Not necessarily, no. There might be reasons for need. But yet there seemed to be here amongst these guys something about the way they shared life. They, you know, and I know there's a lot of this that does go on, and we hear thank you cards every week, don't we, that talk about, you know, thanks God for somebody bought me a load of shopping, or there was something through my letterbox, or whatever it might be. You know, somebody gave me a gift, or, you know, and I'm sure you guys in the room, you've given money away, or you've bought people shopping and done certain things. I'm sure that's going on. in the life of the church. But there's something in terms of being a people of the Spirit, being a prophetic people, living in holiness in that sense, that God is kind of speaking to us about during these first few months of the year. That because increasingly, as we have more and more people coming in, getting saved, and people from all kinds of different backgrounds, of what they've been through, and many of you have got amazing stories of what God's done in you and where you've come from and where God's got you now. And people from all the sort of stuff that we've all been through in our lives before we got saved, that are going to be more and more people coming into the life of the church. And it's like God saying that there's something I want them to come into. There's a certain dynamic of life and a life of my Spirit that I want them to come into. Seems to be that there's a release of God through people that are living in this way. There was a release of the Holy Spirit to enable it, but then as they lived it, there was still release of the Holy Spirit to enable more to take place. So needs were met, supernatural signs and wonders were going on. There was an awe, a reverence, a fear of God. People were praising people. People were getting saved and added. There were people who were devoted. There's loads of stuff that all seems to be happening as they responded to the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to pray? Yeah. It's quiet this morning. God spoke to us last year and said that every person's significant in the life of the church, that your life matters, my life matters, that everybody has a part to play. One example that we used was, when we turn up on a Sunday morning, for example, and if everybody was here before our official start time, I mean, it starts when the doors open, the building or whatever time that is, but imagine, the meeting starts at 10:30 at the moment. Imagine if everybody was here before, just waiting to, all hanging out, chatting, and the atmosphere, and then as soon as the doors were open, everybody came in, because they're like, we just can't wait to get in there, praise God and worship God. And it wasn't necessarily coming and sitting and waiting for some music or somebody to say something, but you know, you take initiative in your own home, don't you? Hopefully you do. You stick a CD on, or you start praising the Lord, or you do something, you take initiative, and it's like, imagine what it would be like if we all came in like that ready. That it wasn't, like 10 people in the room and everybody else was coming in for the next 5 minutes and all of that. Because it affects what goes on. The meeting doesn't really get going, doesn't start. We drib and drab in and all of that. Because we don't think I matter or my life's significant or actually I've got a part to play this morning. Because if you think like that about turning up on a Sunday morning, you'll think like that about being part of the body. You can't compartmentalize your life and say, I'll be all right there, but not that. It's like, no, if you have a mentality, it doesn't really make the odds if I'm in there or not. You'll think that about life group. You'll think that about the prayer. You'll think that about your witness. You'll think that about whatever. And so partly a little bit of housekeeping just before we pray. So if you're not part of the church here, don't worry. You can, work this in your own situation. But for those that are in the church, man, when we come together, we need to understand that how you are, how I am, what you do and what I do affects everybody else. Yeah. And actually, our faith being expressed in love is, I'm not here this morning just to get out of it what I want to get out of it. I'm actually connected to everybody else in this body. And so I want to, when we meet, I want to be here chatting to people, encouraging people, helping to create that vibe, that atmosphere of faith and love. But man, when it's like, I'm going to check my watch, because in a few weeks' time we're having 9:30 and 11:30, two morning meetings, and it's at the moment it's 10:30, but it's like, man, I want to get in there so that what happens this morning is going to affect everybody else. What would the atmosphere be like if none of us turned up till 10:45? There wouldn't be one, would there? So we're all the worship team. We are the worship team. Just a few people are up here playing a few instruments and got a couple of mics in their hands. But we are the worship team. See, even that dynamic this morning, or whatever we do before, affects us being a people of love. It affects the release of God. It affects the dynamic of life in the church. So I just, there's a little bit of housekeeping at the end there, just an example, but just you're significant in the life of the church. Your faith, your love, and how you live makes a difference. How you are on a Sunday, how you are in a life group, how you are in your home, it affects the life of the church. So let's stand, and after I've really encouraged you then. It's hard leading the church sometimes. It really is, just being honest with you. It's blooming hard sometimes leading the church. It's hard leading yourself, isn't it, sometimes? So magnify yourself into hundreds of people and then put yourself up here. It'd be like, no thanks. Because you constantly want to encourage, motivate, inspire. Come on, you know, let's go. How many of you have been saved more than 5 years? How many have been saved more than 3 years? More than 2 years? More than 1 year? You've got an engine on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he's full of fuel. And he wants to work in your life, big time. If we can just have one of you up here, Tobes or something, for a minute. Thanks, mate. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. Let's just think about the word for a few moments before we actually pray. The word we've had this morning. Firstly, the spirit of unity. You've been united with Christ and been made one with him. You've also been united and made one with his body. And we are here as Kingdom Faith, an expression of the wider body of Christ. But he has brought you into this body and united you with the others that are part of this body. You have the spirit of faith. You have the spirit of love. You've been called to be part of a prophetic people because the church of God's church is called to be a prophetic people. How we live on earth is to be a living demonstration, a sign and a symbol. We're a sign. When people look at a sign, it tells you something. And a symbol, it represents something. It tells you something. And as a church, we're called to be a prophetic people, a sign and a symbol, but also then holy people. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just respond to the Lord this morning, shall we? Just begin to pray. Just talk to him about, firstly, just thank him for the unity of the Spirit. Thank him that you have the Holy Spirit in you today. Thank you that you have that spirit of unity and that you've been brought into this body, united with those. You might not know everybody, but yet we are one together, one heart, one mind. Just ask him to work that in you in these next days. Father, I thank you that I have the spirit of unity, but I ask you to work that in me, that symphony, that sound. Father, I just submit and surrender afresh to you and to the body that you've brought me into. Thank you, Jesus. Talk with him wherever you are now. Thank you, Jesus. The kind of word we've had this morning can cause reservations to rise up in us, or things that are kind of, that's share my life and open my heart up a bit more, my life up a bit more, my home up, or all of that. That challenges us. Maybe you just need to submit fresh this morning what you have. Your finances, your home, your possessions, food in the cupboard, how you perceive all of that. Maybe you just need to surrender all of that afresh. Say, Father, everything I have belongs to you. Whether you in the natural have more or less, it doesn't matter at this moment. Whatever you do have, It's like, Father, I submit all of that afresh. It's yours. Thank you that you've blessed me. Thank you for my home. Thank you for all the stuff that I have. Thank you for food in the cupboard, for finances in the bank. Thank you that you have blessed me. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my family, my wife, my husband, or my kids, or whatever. Thank you for my friends. But Father, I don't want to, I want you to work in me in a fresh way so that there's my life is opened up more to live in the way that your Holy Spirit is in me to live, to be expressed as we've read about this morning. God doesn't want any one of us in this room to see ourselves as a person of need. So God doesn't say this morning, because you have less, then you're a person of need, and therefore people who have more need to be sharing with you. That's not how God, what he's saying there and how he wants us to see it. It doesn't matter how much you have. You're not a person of need in that sense. You might have a need at some point, but that doesn't mean you are a person of need. That's not your identity. The widow gave everything she had in that offering. The guys who had more just tipped God, you know, but the widow put everything in. So it's not about how much you have in the natural, it's about what's going on in your heart. What you understand is yours and what is his. It's like, well, Father, I thank you that you've blessed me. Whatever I have, much or little in the natural, thank you, I steward all of it and it's all yours anyway. So I just let go of all that stuff this morning. How you might want that to be expressed in the life of the church to others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just thank you for the spirit of unity that you have. Now just thank you for the spirit of faith. Thank you, Father. That spirit of faith is one that overcomes, one that rises up, one that is not lived according to circumstances, according to need, but it lives according to your word and what you say. So, Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith that can take hold of your word, take hold of your promises, take hold of the things you say and say, Father, that's what I choose to live by. That's what I choose to move towards. That's what I choose to speak. That spirit of faith believes and therefore speaks. And so I choose to speak faith, speak life, be a person who encourages myself as well as encourages and builds others. That spirit of faith that lifts, that builds, that encourages. That spirit of faith that breaks through, that doesn't take no for an answer, because God's word doesn't say no for an answer. It's yes, that's what I've spoken. That's what is yours. That's what I'm giving you. That's your inheritance. That's who you are in me. That's what it means to be a believer. That's how you can live in your life. So, Father, I thank you for the spirit of faith that I have today, that I can live in and see the things that you've spoken and you've promised. I just thank you for the spirit of love this morning. That agape, that God nature of love. Thank you for enabling me to love in a way that I cannot in the natural. I thank you for your eyes of love. I went down to Worthing on Wednesday afternoon. And I was praying on Wednesday and God said to me, get in the car and go to Worthing. I want you to drive round and just pray as you're driving round. And as I was driving around different places, I came on the seafront road. I came to a set of traffic lights. And on the left-hand side, there was a lake. And we used to take our two lads there when they were little on this lake. And there were lots of kids' things and to play on there and everything. And while I was sitting there, I kind of looked to the left and saw all this stuff. And all this emotion welled up in me. And I started filling up while I was sitting there waiting for the lights to go green. And I remembered the times that Jane and I had taken our two lads to this place and we'd been out in the boats and pedalos and rowing and playing on the kids' stuff and everything. And all this emotion rose up in me and I was thinking about my lads and how much I love them and the times we've had together when they were little. And on one level thinking, well, I'm never going to have those days again because they've kind of gone. But there was all this emotion and I'm like, where's all that come from? The light went green, turned left, drove down and round a housing area and some other places and came back. And when this place was on the right-hand side before I turned right to go along the beachfront road again, I was waiting at the lights again and the same thing happened. All this emotion just rose up and I started filling up again. And I'm like, God, what is going on? This is nuts. And as I turned onto the road, began to drive along, I said to the Lord, I said, God, what was all that about? And he said to me, he said, Clive, He said, if that's how you feel about your kids, your two boys when they were little, multiply that many times, and that's how I feel about every person in Worthing. He said, my heart for them. He said, I'm constantly weeping for their salvation. And I was like, phew. Because when I went down there, on the way down, I said, God, if you want to do something in me while I'm down here, I'm not going to try and get anything from you. You're just going to have to do something. And I had this sense that God wanted to give me a heart for Worthing. And I didn't know how he was going to do it, but that was the moment. And it has to be the Holy Spirit that does something. It's the Spirit of love. And as I was then driving around, I'd already been driving around for an hour, but the next hour when I was driving around, the way I looked out of the windows around at people and at the buildings was totally different than the previous hour of driving around. I was kind of driving and looking at stuff and, you know, speak to me, Lord, and all of that. But the second hour was like, God, save them, reach them, do something there. Thank you for... It was like I saw the people in a different light because something had happened on the inside. So let's just pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, we cannot work this kind of love. It's impossible for us to live what we've just read this morning. We can't do it in our own strength. We are bankrupt in ourselves to be able to do it. Now, you can only pray this for yourself. You just pray what you believe your response is in relation to this dynamic of love, to share your life, to share the stuff that you have. It might challenge you. It might stretch you. But, man, the fruit it produces, daily people getting added, an awe, signs and wonders released. It's not that we do it to make God do something, but there's something that happens when we live in this dimension with God that's more than just a few miracles here than there, here and there. Father, I know what you did in me Wednesday when I went down to Worthing, and you authored something that just broke my heart, really. And Father, I thank you that you author something fresh in me right now in terms of your love. For my wife, my family, for the body here, for who we are as a people. I thank you that you author the Spirit of love afresh in me, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If that's what's in your heart, just talk to the Lord right now for him to author. It might mean that you invite some people around for lunch after church today. As a, right, well, might have to go and buy some more food to do it, but it's just very practical. Hey, why don't we invite them around for lunch? Or let's invite them around later at tea time for some dessert or something. Or I don't know what it might mean, something very practical. Doesn't necessarily have to be in some mega act of love. It's just, right, well, let's just begin to do it. Holy Spirit, as I just move towards loving people, I thank you that you're going to author greater compassion, a greater sensitivity, a quicker response to what you're saying at times. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. We need to finish because time's gone. Father, I thank you that you've called us to be that prophetic people. You've called us to live in this holy life that you've called us to. Father, I thank you for your grace this morning that you release afresh to live in this dynamic of life. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your mighty name, your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now, just touching bodies. Just, I know we got off clothes, but I just believe God's releasing all the tightness from the middle to the top of somebody's back, that you've been having muscle spasms, and God's just releasing all of that right now to be free from that pain and that restriction. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody else, you've had a stomach ulcer, and God's healing that right now. So you're free from that pain and from that issue. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've stretched some ligaments in one of your legs, in your left leg, I believe, and God's healing those ligaments right now. There's an amazing acceleration where you're not going to have the treatment that you've been told you're going to need to have because of the healing that's happening in your body right now. I know it's late, but God's just doing a few things before we close this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands, shall we? Just thank the Lord for who He is, what He's doing amongst us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise Your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.